Same thing is today. In Paul's second letter to Timothy, he begins to describe to us in his situation that we know now that he is in under these chains. He is bound because he's been out proclaiming the gospel. And Paul's not getting out of it this time. He's been through a lot, but not and come through and continued to proclaim the gospel, but that's not what's going to happen now. As I mentioned last week, this is his last letter. So there's an urgency that the church come to understand. So that urgency is being expressed to Timothy so he can carry it to the church in Ephesus. And he says this in verse 8, chapter 2, verse 8, 2 Timothy. Remember Jesus Christ raised from the dead, a descendant of David. That is my gospel, for which I suffer hardship, even to the point of being chained like a criminal. Chained like a criminal for the gospel. And this is where Paul is, and this is where he's pushing out to Timothy. He goes, but his next words are, but the word of God is not chained. And we can hear that multiple ways. We can hear that even though Paul is in jail, the word of God is still being spoken. The gospel is still being shared, even though he's in jail. There are others out there that he has raised up that are continuing this process of carrying the gospel. And I think there's a secondary way in which it's understood. Even in his circumstance, no matter how dire it is, God is still there with him. Even though he is in chains, he is not chained because he is free in Christ Jesus. He will be able to speak his peace before Caesar before it's over. And he will share the gospel with Caesar. It may not save his worldly life, but even in this moment, he will not refuse to do what God has called him to do, to be one who carries the good news of the gospel. So he says in verse 10, therefore I endure everything for the sake of the elect, so that they may also obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. See, the gospel is not chained. If the gospel is not being carried, this is a good time for us to remember we're the carriers. We are the ones who carry the good news of the gospel. Even when it seems difficult and even when it may seem dangerous, or at worst case scenario, if we're going to be honest, uncomfortable. Some time ago, I was a chaplain at State College of Florida. When I was first asked to take that position, because it was down the street from my previous parish, when I arrived, the administration sat me down and said, well, we have a problem. The person who had this role before you had an email, an SCF email. And because of that, there's this group of people who are trying to sue us because they say we have a Christian chaplain on staff, and it's a state school. So you can't have an email. And I'm thinking, thanks be to God. Just what I need is another email. And then I said, well, could we get them to bring the suit against us? And they thought, they're like, what, are you crazy? I'm thinking, if they sue this college, this is going to be the single largest student ministry in the country, I promise, within 2 weeks. Because when the church is persecuted, brothers and sisters, it grows. Paul is persecuted. He's pushing out to Timothy, who, by the way, is in Ephesus, where the church is being persecuted. If the church folded under persecution, we wouldn't be sitting here, amen? The church stands up because the gospel is not chained, regardless of what the world may say. We are here still to share the good news of this gospel. And we have to remember that we are only here by the blood of the martyrs, those who have gone before. Their blood watered the seed. In a more traditional shaped Episcopal church, the doors you walked through this morning would have been red. Some are still thinking they should be here. We'll take a vote on that. Why are the doors red? You've all seen a red door on a church, haven't you? That's representative of the blood of the martyrs. You can't even walk in this building if it wasn't for the people who, even though chained, even though in fear, even those who lost their life, refused to let the gospel be chained, and their blood was spilled because of it. And we paint our doors red often. For the simple fact of the matter is, when we walk through them, we remember we only walk through here by the grace of God and the blood of the martyrs, those who would do anything and everything so this gospel would not be chained. And then we walk into the baptismal font, and we're reminded that we have been adopted in to this body of Christ. There's a reason there's an order to these things when we walk in. And then not only that, we come and we hear the word of God, and hopefully it's preached, and then we come to the table, and we receive his very body and blood to be reminded that he indwells us, and to be indwelled yet again by the very presence of Jesus Christ, the one who truly gave it all so that we could be saved. And listen to what Paul is telling Timothy again. Therefore, I endure everything for the sake of the elect, so that they may also obtain the salvation that is Christ Jesus with eternal glory. Some time ago, and I don't know when, it has been generations ago, the church came to the conclusion that the primary reason to come to know Jesus is so you can get to heaven. Paul says he's doing this so that they may also obtain the salvation. You don't hear Paul saying anything about, well, I'm going to go to heaven now. No. Paul's goal is not heaven. He already has the presence of God with him. It cannot be stopped, no matter what circumstance he is in. His goal is to make sure those who don't know the gospel hear the gospel so that they too can have the salvation that he already has. Now, I know this is a tough question for Episcopalians, but are any of you all saved? Any of you baptized? So you don't need anything else other than to not chain the gospel, amen? See, if you're wondering or worrying whether or not you're going to get to heaven, that's already handled. You don't have to spend your life worrying about that. Well, unless, of course, you're ignoring the reality of the knowledge of Christ. But if you're struggling, come see me. We're to be about the Father's business. The business, brothers and sisters, is to share the gospel so that all may find salvation in Jesus Christ. It's been said many times, and I don't know who said it first. The church is the only organization that exists solely for those who are not yet members. I wish I had said it first. But brothers and sisters, hear it. Because you're here. You're here to live out a life in Christ. You're here to grow into deeper relationship with him. But I'll tell you right now, deeper relationship with Jesus comes when we hear the fullness of what Paul is saying to Timothy today. And Paul, being as he is, has an easy three-step guide. Starting with the end of verse 11, he says, "This saying is sure. If we have died with him, we will also live with him." Amen? That is a clear representation of how we understand our baptism. We go down into death with Christ and we raise up with him. We live with him. It's not that someday we might live with him, brothers and sisters, we live with him now. If you want to grow nearer to him, live with him today. If we endure, we also reign with him. When we endure this life and we move to the next life, when we do this life in the way in which we are called, then we will reign with him in the kingdom. Let's not worry about heaven, brothers and sisters. We need to be worrying about and working toward the building of his kingdom. And this is what we pray for every single Sunday, every single day, most of us. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That is what we ask him for. And what does he ask in return? He asks us to live this gospel in such a way that we are not chaining it, that we are not just taking what we need to feel comfortable and safe to go to heaven. We are living this life in such a way that those who do not yet know the gospel, the elect as Paul calls them, may also obtain the salvation. That's what the church is. That's what the church is. He also says if we deny him, he will also deny us. Yeah, let that sink in. Next time you're hesitant to speak the truth of the gospel, maybe you're in fear. Maybe you're afraid of what somebody might think about you. Let's just be honest. Maybe you think it's going to be embarrassing. That's about as bad as it gets for us in this country. Somebody might disagree with you. Let me assure you, somebody will disagree with you. But do you really want to be denied by Christ? If we believe God is as big as God is, and we go about our lives, and we suddenly find ourselves in a position to speak the gospel to someone, and we don't, who do you think set the appointment? Don't deny him. You claim him. Claim him everywhere. Do not chain the gospel. If we deny him, he will also deny us. I cannot tell you how many times in a week that motivates me to do something. But we will make mistakes, won't we? Paul says this, if we are faithless, he remains faithful. For he cannot deny himself. We, created in the very image of God, we who proclaim Jesus as our Lord and Savior, we who are now part of doing the building up, the work that God's called us to for the building up of his kingdom, we as Episcopalians who come here every single week to literally ingest into our bodies the very presence of Jesus Christ, he will not deny you in that. He cannot deny himself. He indwells us. So he is here with us. The question is, brothers and sisters, are we hearing what's being said? So you want to closer relationship with Jesus Christ? Be Christ-like in a damaged, broken world. Be like him. Carry the good news of the gospel. Not so that you can find your way to heaven, but so that others can be saved. Amen.